Hello again, and welcome to another episode of our podcast, Everyone Has a Story. It's the podcast that complements our two quarterly lifestyle magazines, Hello Sunshine Magazine and In Noosa Magazine. On with today's episode. There's something very special about All Antica in Kawana. The space is warm and cozy. The tables have those traditional red and white tablecloths, and the Chianti pairs perfectly with the Italian fare on the menu. I can't help but sing the Billy Joel classic Scenes from an Italian restaurant, and I still have the words in my head long after the meal has ended. The restaurant itself has been operating for more than three decades. Everyone has a story, and today I'd like you to meet the people that run All Antica in Kawana, Helen and Shane McNally. How did you end up here and have such a long, successful run with a place like this?
Oh, that's dumb luck.
Yeah. Dumb luck. Oh, God.
Sort of, yeah, but it's sort of a plan. We had a plan, but because I'd always worked for other people for years, we had probably a radius of 200 kilometres. We were looking for a restaurant.
From the Gold Coast.
And, of course, we didn't have any money, so we were capped at about whatever the bank would give us, which wasn't very much at all.
Because we started in the GFC.
Yeah,
2007, 2008. So our parents weren't very happy. They were like, what are you doing?
So everyone has to eat, though.
So that's right. Everyone does.
Yeah, so we were looking like up here and all the way to Byron, Ocean Shores. We looked at a place.
Yeah.
And yeah, this one came up. And I think the previous owner was at the end of his lease. So he was motivated to move on to whatever he was doing next.
Yeah. Well, Helen was saying the place itself has been here for more than 30?
Yeah.
33 years.
Yeah, Laura was the original owner, and she opened it when Kawana was just a field, really. Like, there was this shops and, you know, a few little houses around.
The shopping centre was brand new. School was there.
That car park and all the cinema obviously wasn't there then. And, yeah, it was one of the first shops here. I think there was...
What was that those early days like? Because I know, Helen, just recap, because this was before I hit record.
Yeah.
You were working on the Gold Coast for the Gold Coast Titans.
Yeah, that was... I started...
And that was a fine dining restaurant?
Yeah. Well, they started off with sort of... They had one main kitchen. They had a few different avenues to it. So they had a fine dining part, and they had the more pub food part of it as well, and functions and catering and that sort of thing as well. So I started with them in their foundation year, and I was there for probably 18 months or something,
until you just had enough by then. You were like looking to do your own, knowing that you could do it. You're a pretty driven person, so knowing that you wanted to see if you could do it and go out on your own. You found this up here. We only knew a couple of other families, some friends of ours up here, which you ended up coming up and staying with them, and we're like, yep, let's do it. And it all happened within 2 or 3 weeks, didn't it?
Settled
in 2 weeks. You were up here, you lived with Adam and Christy on Point Cartwright Drive. They were the ones that said, it's a goer, you'd be amazing there, do it.
And what was your intention when you purchased it? Was it to keep it as this rustic Italian restaurant?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think, plus, you know, I did have ideas of doing other things, but, you know, if this place has been successful in the past and it was getting customers why change it? Maybe we can make a few things better or whatever and put our own spin on it. And, you know, and the thing with Italian food is, you know, it appeals to everyone. Like, sometimes people won't go for spicy food, or, you know, kids won't eat. But it's sort of, Italian is a sort of niche that everyone enjoys, I think. So it has a wide appeal, which I thought, you know, is a good idea, rather than going for something a bit more fine dining or more specialised or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted sort of just like a family bistro, trattoria.
And having young children ourselves at the time, like Cooper was a newborn, Harry was a toddler, Jade was a teenager. So we had, you know, that appealed to us a lot more as well, being able to go somewhere with children where children were.
Because I had done plenty of fine dining and that sort of thing. But my real... probably passion and stuff that I enjoy was, you know, working down at the Snow in both Victoria and New South Wales, where I worked for, you know, big Italian families, and, you know, just being in the kitchen with all the nonnas and learning different families.
Yeah, I wanted to flesh that out a little bit more. Yep. You don't have to convince me about Italian food.
Yeah.
So what is it that you love about, what's the challenge with getting that great rustic Italian? Because it's yep. not about location, it's really yeah. what's served up on the table.
Yeah, definitely. I think you know, people when they open something, they're too worried about what they look
the
like or
yeah.
you know, what their fit out is or what their socials are like or anything like that, and they don't worry about what's actually on the plate. That seems to be an afterthought, which, you know, I think is totally wrong. I think if you start on a base of just basic good food,
yeah.
then the rest will come after that. You know, you can, you know, once you start getting a bit of money going, you can change all the tables or change the decor or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think if you just
leave the red and white tablecloths.
Yeah.
No, I mean, because to me, there's something nostalgic and there's a connection there too.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, with the different fit outs that we've done over the years, we've only tweaked it a little bit. We haven't really changed it too much. We wanted to keep the basic sort of Italian feel of it, really.
Can I ask you what you remember about, you talked about working with the nonnas in the kitchen when you're in the Snow. What do you remember putting together? What do you remember creating?
Oh, it was, well, basically, that was probably early 90s when that was. So, I mean, I'd come from doing almost like diner style food in Surfer's Paradise in a 24-hour restaurant, which we did pizzas and did different things, but it was a very fast-paced, you know, very sort of casual sort of food. And then going, I think that was probably the first time I even tried prosciutto. Like, you know, we a lot of the time in the 90s, you weren't sort of exposed to, you know, the full-on Italian foods like that. And I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. And, you know, I had a basic knowledge from being a chef, obviously, but, yeah, just things I wouldn't think of, or, you know, just the different methods,
hand making Italian sausages, this kind
of
thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, and we had a really good pizza section too, so all the dough was handmade, and that was the first time, you know, I'd really worked with, you know, people that, you know, hand making all the dough and you know, in a making a traditional Naples style pizza, Napolitano pizza.
Yeah.
So I worked with those guys too, and I was more so on the pan section in all the pasta. But I enjoyed, you know, working with the pizza guys as well.
My favourite pasta, it's a mum thing, every Sunday, oxtail ragu.
Oh,
do you do an oxtail ragu?
Yeah. Yeah, I have done it in the past, yeah.
Let me tell you a weird thing about
that. That's good for the special board, isn't
it? Yeah? It's a special.
Right. I've done it before.
The weird thing is, Italian parents don't, or mums, my mum never got me involved in the kitchen. Now, they've both passed away. I love cooking. I don't know. I have to do things from memory and what I think, and I pick my sister's brain about different things that I put in the oxtail ragu.
Yeah.
And if I go in one direction, then she says, no, you need to use tomato soup, Ken, or tinned tomatoes. Or you need to do this, or you need to do that. And then I try it, I do this, I do that, and she goes, and then I said, it's not sweet enough. And there's all that, because mum used to put sugar in it. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, so there's all these.
Yeah, there is these little tricks that you do learn along the way, definitely.
I've never got it the same.
Yeah. Oh, it's, and it's. Yeah.
What's your trick, Jade, for an oxtail ragu?
Good luck with that.
Yeah, in any good ragu, especially like an oxtail, you've got to get good caramelization. You've got to braise it all like on a high temp first and get it all nice and browned up. Same as you'd be making like a demi-glace sauce mix or something like that. You've got to really get the sugars out, and really caramelization is the key. That's where you get your sweetness from. So,
and it's got to be slow cooked.
Seal it all off, and then add your liquids and slow cook it for
the measure of success. I remember my days with how easily the meat fell off the bone.
That's the way to do it. And most northern Italian food is like ragu based like that, so, you know, a bolognese, probably like we have it in Australia, is in Italy, it can be more so like a ragu, like an oxtail or something slow cooked like that, definitely.
My mum obviously used to tell the story about, you know, Oxtail used to be like a throwaway cut.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, maybe you should try buying it.
Definitely, yeah.
How I have a cousin who runs a little restaurant in the northern part of Italy. They're all Sicilian, but she moved to the northern part of Italy. How adventurous do you get with the menu? Because I know she puts rabbit on the menu. Do you go down that path?
Yeah, yeah.
You do?
During winter, we'll do some games. So
right.
I do a rabbit cacciatore, like a hunter's rabbit. So it's, just a braised rabbit in tomatoes, rosemary, throw a few olives in there. We sort of braise that, slow cook it so it falls off the bone. And that's something we'll do, as well as we'll do venison from time to time as well.
Yeah.
So with mixed, I mean, Aussies, yeah, sometimes they'll go for it.
I was going to ask you about that. What's the reception like from
sometimes not always. I find maybe the older people have bad memories of it because I'm made to eat it all the time, because I think growing up in the 60s, it was a really...
You're talking about rabbit?
Yeah, rabbit was a really cheap,
you know, I know from my
thing.
Yes, I mean, there was extreme poverty throughout Italy just after the war, so things like that, game and...
Yeah. And that's where I think most of the famous dishes come from, you know, poverty and making do with what you've got.
With what you have.
Just making the best of what you've got. And a lot of the famous dishes, you know, do come from that, not so much... You know, picking the best produce or whatever. Okay, we've got this. This is what we're going to do, kind of thing.
So you're right. Like, you know,
subsistence,
bread,
I guess.
Bread, turning the breads, the
bruschetta,
and working in the oven. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And what about your suppliers? Is that where do you get your supplies from?
Yeah. So we use a lot of the local food service suppliers and a lot of the bigger guys, but we use local butchers as well. We use fresh meats is good. They always have a really nice quality meat for us. We use them a fair bit.
Can I ask about the pasta that you use?
So we do hand make some of it, but some of it is imported from Italy as a dry product, and we find that it gives an authentic experience. In Italy, it's funny, like everyone wants fresh pasta, isn't it? It is a lot. So I think we get a really good result in, especially we don't have a machine to make short pasta, so stuff like penne pasta that sort of can make our long pasta. The really good quality imported stuff from Italy is, you know, where we have a lot of our dishes.
Because I do remember Mum with the handheld pasta.
There is a company also in Brisbane that we buy from that does fresh pasta. So they're an Italian. They're an Italian family that their main produce is pasta. They're delivering fresh pasta. I think being so busy with us at the moment, you know, fresh pasta is hard to make.
Yeah.
So there, as Shane said, there is.
Well, the point I was going to make is I remember Mum doing that
company is
awesome
for a period of time.
Yeah.
And then she stopped. And then I remember saying, how come you don't have it? She goes, the stuff you buy is just as good. She said.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
As
long as you get it right.
Yeah. And throughout Italy, I think a lot of the mainstay is a really good quality dried pasta. You know, it's in, especially the busier restaurants, you know, they don't have the time, you know, as such. But I mean, there is definitely something to be said, you know, making raviolis from scratch or tortellinis from scratch or, you know.
What's the other one with the wire? The cannoli, where you roll it on the
piece? Cannelloni or?
No, the really tiny one, you roll it on a
piece.
Is it macaroni? But it is time consuming, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Making all that stuff.
So.
And talk a little bit about your clientele. I mean, locals predominantly, that it's like a secret, or not a secret, but a discovery of...
They like to call us a hidden little gem.
Yeah. But that's great.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and we do, especially post-pandemic, we get a lot of people down every weekend from Brisbane too. So we get, people from Brisbane.
I mean, we have people that come in now as well that'll come in there that are now the son or the daughter that Mum and Dad used to bring us here as kids all the time. And so back when, say, Rita and Osvaldo were here and they'd have big families would come in. And now the son or the daughter are coming in with their family.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Every week
yeah.
I'll get someone commenting about that saying...
Look, it's a great legacy and a tribute to you guys to be in the business for so long because, you know, hospitality is tough.
Yeah.
And,
hospitality
is tough.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Helen and Shane McNally from All Antica were my guests on today's episode of Everyone Has a Story. Feel free to share the episode about on your social media platforms. Until next time, take care.